Well, hey, this morning you can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of this morning's message, how many note takers out there? Anybody? Yes, my note-taking people. Let's do it. Title of the message this morning is Team Jesus. Can you say that with me? Team Jesus. That's our team. We're going to read in just a moment here, 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to read verses 12, I think probably through about 20. We'll see. But I'll start by saying this, you guys. There is no I in team. To make the dream work, you need a team to focus on the teamwork, right? For a team to work, each teammate needs to be selfless, not selfish. Now, have you ever heard these cheesy things before? Anybody in here? Yeah. So most of you must have played sports then, like me. Now, they're true, but I played a lot of team sports growing up, and a lot of these motivational speeches were kind of this way. And the team always did better. I remember them always doing better when teammates weren't selfish. And when teammates were selfish, it didn't go very well. It was pretty messed up, actually. Maybe you've been on a team before. Maybe even, you know, back when you were a little kid, you signed up for a sport. And then you get a call from the coach, and the coach gives you the practice times, and you get a schedule from the team mom, and maybe you sign up for snacks, which is super fun to get good snacks at your game, and then you meet your teammates at practice, and then you train there at practice, and you learn, and you receive a position, and you get coached in your game. And you learn how to work with your teammates, and then hopefully you win some games or win the championship, and you might get a trophy, but let's be honest, most importantly, hopefully you get at least one pizza party or two, right? Amen? That's what you're hoping for. Well, kind of in a similar fashion, Christians are automatically placed onto a team whose history spans thousands of years and really every generation. A team that includes every tribe, people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. A team that works together to do the work that Jesus himself came to do. And this team is Team Jesus, also known as, we see in Scripture, the body of Christ. And so we're going to look at a little bit of this morning in 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to give you some background. Paul the Apostle wrote this book, of course, but he's writing like a father who's speaking to his own children. And in that church, they had a lot of spiritual immaturity going on, and they were just doing things that they shouldn't do, but they were gifted people. And so out of a father's love, he wrote them some letters too, to lovingly correct them and direct them. And one particular area that he corrected them in was of spiritual gifts. They were very carnal in their using of their gifts because they were very self-focused. They had a lack of understanding on how to properly use these spiritual gifts. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, in the midst of talking about spiritual gifts, Paul kind of stops and shifts gears and explains to them that the church is one body with many different parts. He explains, as we'll see in a moment, that each part is important because all of the parts are connected together. It's less about the value on each part and more about the fact that there's a value on the whole thing, the whole body, because everybody is intricately connected. So look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll read a few verses together. It says there, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling?" And you're kind of happy that he didn't go on explaining every body part. At least I am. We're good right there, Paul. But he says, "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body." Let's pray. Lord, we truly are one body, the body of Christ. We're a team. You've connected all of us together. This is not something that we need to just try and promote. This is something we need to discover, rediscover, accept, understand, and learn to work towards. You have made us the body of Christ to accomplish the work that your heart desires. And your work is good. Every bit of it, every single thing you do, every single thing you say, it's good. Lord, we want to see your kingdom come and your will be done, you know, here on earth just as it is in heaven. And Lord, we know it's the work of your Spirit. Lord, you do this work because, Lord, you have a loving heart towards all creation. But you've called us to do this work, to be your hands and your feet. Lord, you've called us to be connected together and to work as one. And so we pray this morning, Lord, would you speak to us on this very important idea of teamwork, especially in our worship ministries. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We're all connected. It's true. So the body of Christ, the church, all connected. And so that also means it's true for the worship team, the sound team, the media team, the video team. In my church, those four are actually connected together. Yours might be the same, it might not be. But we have some ministries that we call it Wildwood Music, and it's got a bunch of different ministries under that umbrella. And we all fellowship together, we all serve together, we all work together. I hear this from the servants in the ministry all the time, it's a family. It's a family of people who work and serve together. One team, by the way, in the midst of many teams in the body. Like the body is one whole team, but there's kind of these smaller parts, these smaller teams, and the worship, sound, media, video, etc. are one team within the midst of a body. At this particular conference, as I've been talking to people, I've talked to worship leaders, guitar players, singers, drummers, video team, house team, pastors, bass players, piano players, violin, banjo, media techs, live stream. It's amazing how diverse this group is. Even a few people who are like, I just feel called to worship ministry and God has not showed me what to do yet. Wonderful. It's so good to all be together. But no matter what part you play, your life and your ministry are very important to the Lord and important to the body of Christ as a whole. We need one another. Do you agree with that? We do truly need each other. Turn to your teammate or your neighbor and say, I need you. That's kind of weird, right? That's kind of weird. I'm surprised you actually did it, but good on you for being obedient. It's early, I know. But listen, it's so true. Truly, we do need each other. We know that, like sitting here, we know that, yes, I need my teammates, but when times get tough, when we're in a rut, sometimes we don't really believe that. Sometimes we don't really act that out. And, you know, we understand that, we know that, we believe that. You know, who else knows that? Who knows that we need each other and that we depend upon each other? It's the enemy. Satan knows. He agrees. He knows that we're better together than we are apart, and he wants to take you and he wants to take your team out. He knows that if he can move you away from teamwork, if he can disunify you, if he can divide you, if he can get one person to be prideful, another person to be melancholy, if he can split everybody up, if he can mess with the team, well, he can isolate you. He can accomplish all kinds of evil. He can shut down the worship in the church. He wants to shut down the worship team so he can hinder the worship time in the church. He wants to make the service weird, as my pastor said yesterday, and not a good weird. Some people are like, I like weird. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying he wants to make it like, so people come in and go, yeah, church was kind of cool, but the worship was weird. And you've probably been to a place or maybe even been a part of that before, and it's just odd. Think about all that happens in our worship time. I talked about this just a little bit yesterday, but just to reiterate, we come into worship like we just did to give God the praise that he deserves. We elevate his name. We sing and speak of his worthiness. This is what we do when we come to worship. We do our eternal job. We're made to worship him eternally. So when we come to worship, we give him praise. That's what we're going to be doing forever and ever and ever. And Satan wants to shut that down. We talked yesterday as well about God's presence and the importance of his presence. Think about all that happens in God's presence. Like last night, as we waited upon the Lord, there is a joy that comes from being in the presence of God. Amen? Just an amazing joy. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. There's great revelation and understanding and God speaking to our hearts as our minds and our hearts are open. And there's a wonderful unity that takes place as we worship. The atmosphere is a great godly atmosphere, and we're ready to receive the word of God, or, you know, after the message, ready to respond to the goodness of God, what's been taught in his word. And when that gets shut down, the body of Christ is in trouble. So your ministry is very, very, very important. Do you agree? Yeah, it's not that we're here to elevate ourselves, but we need to understand how vital and important the worship time, the worship ministry, the song service is to the church and to the body of Christ. It's not messing around. It's not just playing songs. It's not time to be a rock star, but it's time to worship the Lord and to be in his presence. There are so many benefits. So with that, if we want to be successful in our ministry, we need to work the way that the body of Christ was designed by God to work together. I want to give you just a couple things on that. Actually, it's four in a row. They all go together, but this is what working together is. It's one, many parts; two, coming together; three, to work in unity; four, to the glory of God. Why don't we say that out loud together? One, many parts, coming together, to work in unity to the glory of God. I want to walk back through this text and get a few points on this idea. Look at verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Every person in the church being important to the body of Christ. First point about Team Jesus this morning, number one, and we've talked about it at length already, but every member belongs on the team. So everyone that God places on the team belongs on the team, belongs in the body. Kind of like being a member of a baseball team. Everyone is needed on that field. You're going to have a hard time winning a baseball game if everybody shows up but the catcher, right? It's like here, your team takes the field defensively. You got all the best players in the world. The pitcher throws the first pitch. It's a ball, and it hits the backstop, right? It doesn't work. Same could be said for first base. You got the greatest shortstop, third baseman, second baseman, whatever in the world, and the ball's hit to the infield, and they throw it to first base, and it pegs the runner, right? Automatic double. Or maybe you only have half your team show up. And so everybody's got three positions. That kind of sounds like ministry sometimes, doesn't it? And yeah, God does the supernatural, and it's wonderful, but it's not necessarily fun week after week, is it? No, you're missing the team. For by the Spirit, verse 13, we were all baptized into one body. And then he mentions some categories here, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. So he talks about different nationalities. He talks about people who are slaves, people who have freedom, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit, whom brings believers together with a baptism, meaning an immersion. People from different nations, social classes, all have the same Holy Spirit who's anointing them, who's filling them, who's you know, sealed their soul for heaven. Which means verse 14, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Good questions. The people in the church were made by God to be together. And by God's design, we're better together than we are apart. Notice here. Being a team member isn't just a goal that we should have. It's a truth that we need to recognize. Leaders especially, let me call you out right here in this moment, not to put you down, but it's imperative that you recognize that the body of Christ is bigger than just you. It's not supposed to be just you, but instead recognize the truth that God has made many to come together. He did not intend for us to be long-term lone rangers, fighting by ourselves, sometimes fighting for ourselves. Yet many of us, or most of us, are either doing that at times or have had to do that at some time. I remember an extreme illustration in my own life that I could share, a season where I was an extreme Lone Ranger. I remember when I was the youth ministry leader, and I didn't really have a team in the beginning. In fact, there was a team before me, and a few nice people stuck around, but most of them left, and some of them, you know, naturally, there was some backbiting and all that, and there were a lot of weeks where I was by myself. They might show up for a little bit of the service to talk to a few kids, but when it came to the work of the ministry, it was me. We were a mobile church at the time. Our church it was in public schools for 14 years, and so we did our ministry out of trailers. I talked to some of you guys who are doing that right now. It was a wonderful time, by the way. It was a blessing to do this ministry in schools. But I remember at the time, I had a full-time job. My dad and I had a family business, construction business, and I would work hard to try and leave my job early on Tuesdays, which is our midweek, and go pick up the trailer that had all the youth ministry stuff in it. And then I would go to the school, and many times I would pull in and set up the room by myself and set up the sound system by myself. A few kids would come, and we would do worship practice together. And so I would lead the team in practice, and then shortly after that, I'd like high-five a few kids, and service started. And I would, you know, lead worship with the kids and then teach and then have a moment to either pray with a kid or berate a kid who was like going crazy during the service, talk to a parent who was either happy or upset. It just was kind of, you didn't know what it was going to be, you know, and then it was time to pack up the trailer and head back to the property, drop off the trailer, lock everything up. There were other people with trailers there too. And then honestly, it was a great time, but God was working some stuff out of me. I remember going, I had this old Ford Explorer that broke down all the time. So naturally, we called it the Exploder. And I remember pulling up in my tan Exploder, parking right in front of the house. And here I am. I can't remember what my age was. It was a while ago, a lot younger than I am now. But full-grown man sitting in my Exploder, not ready to go inside. And I remember even one particular day, just sitting there, and I'm like, my face is leaking. I don't know what's happening right now. You know, the ministry was wonderful, but the burden was heavy. And the difficulties were, I was able to share them with God in that time, but I remember just being like, it would be really nice to share this with somebody. Not only the burden, but the blessings, right? It'd be really nice to have some other people. I even remember thinking, how does this work? Like, when do I get to hire like 10 staff people? Is that coming up anytime soon? And, you know, in time, God brought a team. But I remember the Lord speaking to me in that time, speaking to my heart, you need to raise up a team. And here's the deal. I didn't want to raise up a team. I wanted help for sure, but I didn't want the drama. I didn't want to have to do the work of raising up a team. It takes more work to raise up a team. It does. But the ministry is so much more effective, so much more fruitful when God brings the right team together and they're all functioning together as one. I would even say this. I'm not saying this out of pride, but I wasn't being lazy. I was just being prideful. I didn't believe that God could do it. And the Lord spoke to my heart, you need to raise up a team. You need to find some other people who want to do this like you want to do it. You need to look into the church. I'm like, I'm looking into the church. They don't exist. They were here and they don't like me anymore. They all left and I don't know what to do now. And I remember the Lord highlighting a few key people who are, when I think of them right now, still to this day, the people that got highlighted are some of my best friends in the whole world that I've ever had. He highlighted those people. And some of them, we don't even serve in the same ministry anymore. But there's this kinship. There's this shared heart that God brought together. And you know, some of the people that God highlighted were 12, 13, and 14 years old. Some of the people that God highlighted are on staff with us right now, married adults with kids, and they've been there for 20 years. God did this great, mighty work that he wanted to do. I needed to go through a season where I could learn how important team is. Leaders should help each member in the body find their position. And if you're a team member, you have a leadership as well. You're to help other team members and other people, help the leader to minister to those who are to be on the team simply by encouraging people to get involved or to serve or to get better. You've heard all the things that we've talked about in the sessions and in the workshops. There's so much work to do to put in the hard work to bless the Lord with talents and abilities. You can be a part of that. Here's something I've learned over the years. Even though it may seem cheesy at times to encourage people, even though it may seem like you're buttering them up some, and sometimes you are because you want the help, But even though that may seem like like gross moments, here's the thing. People are being attacked by the enemy all the time, and they need the encouragement. If God gives you an encouraging view, you know, over someone's life, you should encourage them, because they've got stuff going on in their hearts and in their minds that's not good. Satan's attacking them. And so we can encourage one another. We can also communicate the vision. Whether we're a leader or a team member, we can help people to understand the vision. A healthy team has a good understanding of the overall purpose and the methods of the team. They understand the why. Why are we doing this? What is our purpose here? They understand how it works. Well, actually, this is the way that it works, and this is the way that we do it, and we're all on the same page. They can help each other with expectations. This is the expectation. I know you want to do that, but this is the expectation, and here's why it's good. Here's why it works. And this doesn't matter whether you're a one-person team or you're at 50 or beyond. Every single person belongs on the team, the people who God brings, and you want to help others to understand this as you go back. Look again with me at verse 18. It says there, "But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members," but how many bodies, guys? One body. "Eyes are needed to do the seeing. Feet are needed to do the walking," I guess the kicking too. "Ears are needed to do the hearing. Leaders are needed to do the leading," which, by the way, if you're a leader in here, don't ever forget you're a servant before you're a leader. That word should come before your title at all times. Leading truly is serving. If you're leading, you're serving through your leading. "Guitar players, thank you so much for what you do. To play, you know, the melodies, the counter melodies, the lead lines. Singers, to sing beautifully to the Lord in a way that people can join in." I love seeing a team, like the teams that have been up here this week, seeing the teams sing together beautifully and harmonize together. And what does it do? Not only do we want to worship, it draws us all in as everyone is singing to the glory of God. List goes on. Piano players playing beautiful melodies. Sound technicians mixing well, bringing it all together. Media people, praise God for them, presenting the words in a way that the church can see and follow along, whether it's, you know, worship music or it's a sermon or something else. God designed all these different parts, and the whole thing actually pleases him. It's pleasing to him. Number two on Team Jesus, number two, work hard to play the part that God has designed for you to play. Let me say that again as you're writing that down. Work hard to play the part that God has designed for you to play. Let's be honest. Even though we may all play a part right now, sometimes it can be hard to figure out what your part actually is. So what is my part? I'm doing this right now, but what is my part? Let me speak to that for just a moment. Some of the reasons why we might not understand our part or fully believe in it is because of a lack of communication. We don't know exactly what part we play or what we're being asked to do. And my encouragement is to you, if you don't know, ask. It's one of my big things with my team, both at the church, those who are on staff, and volunteers, trying to encourage them, hey, if you're insecure because you don't know, please ask me. I'm trying to do my best all the time to communicate to you as much as I can, but I also know I can over-communicate. So sometimes I'm going to pull back, but if you don't understand, just ask and we can talk about what part you play. Another reason why it can be hard to figure out what your part is insecurity. Insecurities. You know, playing a part and being like, well, I'm not as good a guitar player as so-and-so. I'm not as good of a, you know, media technician as so-and-so. Here's what I want to encourage you in. Maybe you're not, but you're always going to find somebody who's not as good as you and a bunch of people who are better than you. I will say this. If you're called to play that part and someone's put you up there, you are the person that God has put up there today. And so that's your part. Receive it. And, you know, a big reason why sometimes we don't know what our part is just there's other desires. There's competing desires in our heart and our mind. We want to be someone or something else. We want to play a different part. And here's my encouragement to you. Put that to the side. Maybe that's for another season. Maybe it's not. But seek to play the part that God has called you to today. Proverbs 21:5 says this, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty." Make sure you're not hasty. Sitting on your hands, hanging on to things a little bit longer, or not engaging, but instead work. If you're struggling to know your part, try this. Ask yourself, what has God put in front of me in this season? True story. One of my daily prayers is, God, whatever you put in front of me, that's what I want to do. It's something that I speak to the Lord and to my own heart. God, whatever you put in front of me today, difficult, easy, somewhere in between, even though in my flesh I may not want to do it, whatever you have for me today, God, I know it's better than what I could come up with, but whatever you want me to do, whatever you have for me, God, that's what I want to do, whatever you put in front of me. The other thing I think you need to explore is, what has God put in your heart? And what does he want you to do with what he's put in your heart? We can jump the gun on things that God puts in our heart. Now, God is a communicator, right? God is a God of vision. Sometimes we think we have vision or our friend has vision. No, my friends, God has vision. And it's everywhere all the time. And yeah, you may become aware to the vision, sensitive to the vision, awakened to the vision, but never forget, it's not your vision, it's his vision. And if he's called you to it, it becomes yours because you partner with him in that vision. But I will tell you, I've caught into, hooked into a lot of visions over the last 25 years of being a believer and being a part of ministry and all that. And out of all that vision over that 25 years, 5% of it has been for me. Like individually. I don't even know if that's an accurate number. I feel like Google right now just throwing out whatever, but that's what it feels like. It feels like it's about like 5%. But then I do partner in some of the vision that I can see and that I can sense by encouraging others to do the things that God's put in front of them. And I can pray for the body of Christ as a whole. But what has God put in front of you? And what has he put in your heart? And are you taking it to prayer? And I love to just take those things to prayer. Like, Lord, here's what's on my heart. Here's some steps I can take. And now here I'm going to do it. And now, Lord, it's back to you. It's your vision. It is not my vision, God. It's your vision. Take it to your leadership. See what's a fit. Ask them to pray with you. And at the end of the day, acknowledge what God has put in front of you, that it's good, and do that well. Don't be hasty any longer. Maybe you're here at this conference and you've been hasty in your call. Well, leave that behind. Not for Matt to deal with here, but I'm saying don't take it back to your church, right? Instead, decide to lay it down today. You know, the last thing that I want to do is spend all my time daydreaming about what I'd rather do or what others are doing. And it's weird how those mix together. A lot of times what we'd rather be doing has to do with what we're seeing other people do, and we think the grass is greener on the other side. But I don't want to daydream while I could be using my time to serve the Lord and his kingdom, doing what he put in front of me. And let me say one more thing about this idea. As hard as some of those things that God puts in front of you may be to do, the greatest place of fellowship is being in the place where God wants you, doing the task he's called you to. And I would just attest to this. Sometimes, my friends, I'm a really bad sweeper. I'm just not good at it. I'm the guy that sweeps, then gets the vacuum, then sweeps again, then vacuums. So in our house, I usually pawn that off on one of the kids because I don't want to do it. But there are times where the floor is dirty and the Lord calls me to bless my wife, to bless my family by grabbing that broom and doing that. It's not the job that I'm the best at. It's not the one that I want to do, but it's just sweeping up. And yes, it's worship, but it's also, I'd say, even more than just seeing it as worship because it's serving. It's a place of intimacy with God. I mean, have you had a moment like that? I've had a moment, sorry, this is gross, but cleaning up a kid's puke at the church, and it was like, this is disgusting. I've got stuff to do. And I remember the Lord just speaking to my heart. I love you. I love your heart. I love how you serve people. I was like, whew. I just met with God with rags and puke. This is weird. Sorry, that was disgusting. But it was a real, true moment. Colossians 3, verse 23 says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Let me read that again. Whatever you do, do it with your heart as to the Lord and not to men, for the Lord is the one who is worthy. Think to yourself, before you go today, is there anything that you need to put on the back burner? You've probably been recognizing here at the conference what's on the front burner. Is there anything you need to move to the back of the stove and just leave it there? You don't need to run that burner right now. Just put it there, maybe in a cupboard for a while, knowing it's there so that you can focus on what God's put in front of you. Work hard to play the part that God has designed for you to play. Paul says a little more in this illustration, but I just want to share one more thing. Jump down to verse 25. It says in verse 25, there should be no schism in the body, but that the body members should have the same care for one another. And if one member is suffering, all the members are suffering with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and your members individually. And then he's going to go on. We're not going to get to it. But he goes on to talk about the different offices and giftings that God has put in place. And then that leads into that wonderful, 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love and how it all comes together. But I want to put some focus here. Paul reminds the Corinthians about God's perspective on unity. Although members play different parts and they're different themselves, there should be no issues between members that divide them. That's what that word schism means. It means a division. It means a dissension. Instead, the body should be caring for one another. And all the church said amen, right? Caring for each other. Notice he says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If you're young, maybe you're not experiencing this, but if you're over 30, over 40 and beyond, you know exactly what this means. I have a living illustration this morning. My back hurts a little bit when I first wake up, and then it moves up to my shoulder. Right now it's in my neck. By the middle of the day, it'll be somewhere in the back of my head, and you'll see me standing funny because that stops it from hurting. All of the parts of the body connect together. It's like the song that you may have sang when you're a kid, right? The toe, foot bone connected to the, right? It goes on and on and on. It's all connected. Just like the neck and the back feel each other's pain, we feel each other's pain and the effects of what people are going through. We saw some of that last night as we prayed together and for one another. Paul says, if one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. Don't you love seeing your family members and your friends succeed? Yes. And then every once in a while, someone succeeds and you're like, ew, what is that? Right? But he says, no, we're to rejoice. We're to celebrate what God's doing in the other parts of the body. Last point, number three on Team Jesus. Number three, a healthy team cares for one another. A healthy team cares for one another. Worship teams should be teams that care for each other. Taking an interest in one another. Paying attention to the needs. Notice I didn't say meeting all the needs. There's one person who can meet everyone's needs. Who is that person? Jesus. He is the answer. We are the help. God calls us to come alongside. He calls us to help. But we're leading people to Jesus. We can't meet every person's need. But we can lead them to Jesus, and we can meet some of those felt needs that are there. Sometimes people are going through things, and it's hard. It's difficult. I think about some of the times people are going through things, and I'm just sitting there going, I have no idea how to help this person. And I guess, Lord, you're going to have to show me. And sometimes it's just your presence, being with them. Sometimes it's just your prayers. Sometimes it's your understanding. Sometimes it's your faith. That's one of the things I pray for often is, God, give me the gift of faith. I want to supernaturally believe for what you believe. And speak that over people's lives. Speak it into their lives. Lord, I want to help them in that way. I want to care for them in that way. I want to bless them, God, the way that you bless them. Romans, Paul says, Romans 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Spending time with them. Knowing where they're at, bearing the burden of what they've got going on. Galatians 6:2, Paul says again, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That law being to love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's what he's talking about right there. And, I think there's some pretty good practicals on this idea, on ways to do this with your team. I think of prayer and texts and meals and time spent and encouragements. And I'll just talk a little bit about each of those to finish up here. Prayer, a lot of the prayers that I pray for the teams have to start with a text. I don't know if you guys do that, but God will put a particular prayer person on the team on my heart. And so I'll just text them and say, hey, when you get a moment, could you just send me what you need prayer for? And, sometimes I'll just be praying for them, and other times the Lord will prompt my heart, send them back a prayer on their text. And I don't know if you've ever done that or if you've ever received it, but it's such a blessing. I'm now, a lot of those people are, it's kind of cool the way it works. It's almost like a pyramid scheme on its own, all right? I'm like texting all these people on my team, and I'm talking about one or two a day at most, guys. And now I've got all these people praying for me, right? And they're sending me prayer back. So I'm like, I love the way this works. This is so awesome. No, but truly, just praying for one another, praying for the team. Texting out encouragements as well. You can encourage people in person, which is always better, but we're not together the whole week, so texting them a short and sweet encouragement, noticing what they're doing and how they're doing it, how they're going about it. Bless them with that encouragement. I feel like good things happen at meals, amen? Going out to eat with friends, having people over, going over to their homes, breaking bread together, spending that time. For us, we don't get to do it as often as we want to this season in our life with and the age of our kids. And my oldest daughter just graduated. In fact, she's, pray for her if you think of it, she's flying to, she's going to go rough it for the Lord in Kauai this morning. She's going to Calvary Bible Institute Kauai. We're so proud of her. But the season has just been like crazy busy, and every time we try to plan something with somebody, it's like, we got to do this, we got to do that. She's leaving for 6 months, we got to do this, we got to do that. And it's been a great time as a family, but one of the things our family loves to do is have the team and people over and eat food, usually bad food, I'm sorry, but I like to barbecue, so we get the barbecue going and eat food together and, you know, play board games where I always win. So, no, I don't. I actually truly almost always lose. But it's just fun to hang together and laugh together and tell stories and stay up late, which for me is like 10:15. And it's just a good time. It is. And, you know, one last thing. God put this on my heart this morning to add this. It's something that I've done over the years, and I'll do this for a while and then not do it for a while. I want things to stay fresh. But carve some time into your rehearsal for a quick encouragement from the Word of God. Just bringing everybody together, giving them a verse, encouraging them, letting everyone talk maybe for, you know, a couple minutes. Just say, hey, a couple people want to share. Be cool to share. And then praying together. Such a blessing. There's so many things that you can do to bless each other in that way. And you may be at this place, I recognize, even from some that I've talked to here, you may just feel alone in this season. You may feel like you need a team. Some of you had a team and they bailed for whatever reason. And if you're like I was back in the day, you're even blaming yourself for the reason that everyone bailed. And it's just this difficult thing. And what can happen is, you know, not having a team or even a team bailing on you, you can get to this place where you're like, well, it's not a team, it's just me. And I just want to encourage you, pray for a team. If you don't have the energy for raising up a team, pray for a team. God, bring me the team. God, will you show me the needs? I think I need a bass player and a media person and this person and that, but I know that you know better. God, will you just bring the people that are needed for this venture of faith? And then as you pray, start looking around constantly. I made a habit that my pastor encouraged me in years ago. I just keep a list running on my phone of different needs and then people in the body that I'm praying about that might meet that need. And a small percentage of them make it to that need, but it's amazing how it works. When you pray, God actually provides. And so if you don't have a team, that's my question is, are we praying enough for that person, for those people? Sometimes the prayer is, God, you're not bringing people. Maybe you need to change something in me. God, if there's something in me that needs to change in order to have that team member, will you help me? Will you change me? And then thirdly, with that, invest. When you bring someone on the team, invest in them. You'll have to figure out what that means for you, but invest. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I invest in these people? Let's remember, we are His church. The church doesn't belong to us. Amen, guys? It's His church. We belong to Him, and so that's our ownership. One body, many members, each part important, connected together to do the work of Christ and see God's kingdom come and His will be done right in our city, just as it is in heaven. Amen.